Good morning and welcome everyone. Today is Thursday, June 8th, 2017. It is 9 a.m. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for our administrative workshop. And we have a pretty full agenda here today. We're going to take item number one, which is the sheriff. Third amendment to contract for professional services with ConMed LLC for inmate medical care. We have Mr. Vincent here today representing the sheriff's office. And so take us through this. This is a renewal, and we're looking to make an adjustment on the CPI element to make a fiscal adjustment for that, the duration of time.
Correct. And I actually didn't get a copy of the new contract that will be signed this morning.
It goes through June 30th of 18, and it's a total contract for $379,484. And the element of change of the previous contract is the CPI, as I read it. So it sounds good to me. I don't have any objection. I wonder if there's a need for the staffing level over time, and maybe we'll have to do another amendment because it's based on probably, I don't know that it's changing the staffing level from the total of like 4.2, total of 168 hours. When you have more inmates, you know, it's probably a 30% increase when you're fully...
And there will end up being an adjustment for that, and we'll be able to actually look at that. And we should, within reason, be able to predict what they're going to need as far as the adjustment goes.
Okay.
Been paying real close attention to that, the staffing level for the last few months. And it looks like right now we've got it dialed in pretty good for the numbers that we have currently in the facility. And if that should change, then we'll address that accordingly at that time.
I want to take this opportunity. I'm not the liaison to the Sheriff's Department. That's Commissioner DeYoung. But I received notice yesterday. We're coming up at the end of the fiscal year, and you're roughly $260,000 under budget this year, which probably doing holding off on staffing, upgrades if we were going to have to lay off 17 people at the end of the fiscal year. But the success of the levy, I just know that in the 6.5 years, 7 years I've been here, it's not real easy to keep a sheriff's department budget on budget, especially, or under budget. And there have been years where we've gone over that mid-year. So I really appreciate how hard you guys have worked. I know you've got some good people watching the numbers over there.
It's a continuous learning experience for me. Even I'm looking at this contract here, when I look at the monthly expenditure. I definitely look at all of those very seriously, and I don't want to micromanage contracts. However, that's what the sheriff's paying me to do, is to monitor those contracts, and so we've been keeping a real close eye on that.
It's a really tough thing to do in your situation. I know that we've had people who have been brought in on charges that have significant medical challenges, and that's something you have to weigh. It's the last thing we want to do is have somebody, they're going to get the medical care. It's whether or not we're on the hook for it, or usually the state of Oregon, or even their insurance program. Because when they come into our care, all of that stuff goes by the wayside at the door.
Correct.
And it's the taxpayer, local taxpayer's responsibility. And that person may not even be a Josephine County, consideration. It may have outstanding warrants or real challenges that come from somebody else, but because they're here, we bring them in, or the city brings them in, state brings them in. That's just something I really appreciate, how much you guys monitor.
It's a weekly event.
Is there an insurance policy we can buy for that, for like catastrophe? You get a guy in there and he has a quadruple
bypass.
Yeah, he has a $300,000.
It would definitely be something to look at. I just had a battle with Medicare yesterday in regards to an individual who they're refusing to make payments on, and Asante wasn't going to make the payments on that, and it would eventually come back to us. So luckily enough, we're able to provide, dates of in-custody time, which eliminated every one of those issues. So, but it was still, it happens every week. Every week we do it.
There was some legislation that was proposed, I think either this session or last session, that if you came in and you were in custody and you had insurance, either state of Oregon insurance or your own private carrier, that would be billed. And I don't know, is that the case now?
It is the case, but it's only for a certain period of time.
Okay.
And that's the
less than a
that's,
year.
That's the challenge.
It would be ideal if it was just the time that we had.
Then it wouldn't be an issue.
Then it wouldn't be an issue.
I was just thinking about the big ones, you know, I mean, the guy breaks a tooth or something like that.
We've had $120,000 bills.
Yeah, that's, you know,
that's the one that I remember.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is a $300,000 contract, so you can see how it's real quick. You can burn through that.
I was talking with some folks up north, and the suggestion was that our local CCOs may have access to a different, basically funding stream than just straight Oregon Health Plan that gets dropped, and that there may be a way to get coverage. And I don't know if it would be better to get you in touch with the local All Care Primary Health folks or get a liaison for you to do that. But there is maybe a, there's the federal dollars are the ones that are restricted from being used in the custody.
Right.
But there's other dollars they receive that are not restricted.
In our collective, I call it our listserv or the jail commanders, there's quite a few right now that's at the very top of the list of things that everyone's looking into. So collectively,
okay,
we're all working together to try and find a solution. And hopefully that happens. There's a lot of really very intelligent individuals that have been doing this for a long time. That are working really hard
on
that very thing.
Well, it's a problem for everybody. It's not just us. If
it's
only us, then we really have
true.
A hard time getting
right.
through it. But because
right.
everybody's got this issue,
yeah.
I'm sure we're willing to do whatever it is that we can do to help. And I know it'd be a really positive thing for the county if we could figure something out. So great. Well, thank you very much. We're going to be moving this forward. I think it's in a consent calendar item, as it doesn't change.
Yeah.
It's a minute change. It's in the budget, and it's not a policy.
What's the, curiosity, what's the difference of the CPI?
It's probably about 2.5 this year, isn't it?
2.5 for the CPI.
Yeah. I think that's one of our union ones. Thank
Good.
You very much.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Thanks, Lieutenant Vincent.
Thank you.
You can work it out with Lieutenant, I'm sorry. You can work it out with Mr. Commissioner DeYoung as to whether or not you need to attend, but I think he can. Maybe write him up a little something if you can.
Yeah.
Okay, we can do that.
That'd be great.
Yep,
cue cards.
Thank you.
Next item on our agenda is item number 2, legal counsel. We've got 3 items. Order number 2017-027 in the matter of declaring results of election on forming a library special district organized under ORS 357.216 to 357.286 to be known as the Josephine Community Library District, establishing and forming the district. First feature. Just kidding.
Yeah, he's connected to it.
Right,
so,
he is. Your office is
We're
involved.
In the middle. We are, and the Board of Commissioners is involved, too.
Right.
And that's what brings us here today. Just as a preliminary. So because these were the only matters that we had for this week,
right.
I thought rather than set up a whole separate meeting on
that's
Tuesday.
Perfectly fine.
Here we all are.
Yep.
All right, diving into it. So as I've just sort of intonated, the Board of Commissioners does have a formal role in establishing a library district now that the election results have been certified. And that's what these orders do. You'll notice it's extremely thick. And the second one in particular.
Yeah, 160 pages is quite impressive.
And so reading word by word is expected, I think, before you... No, I'm just joking.
Well, just for the public to know, why is it so thick? It wouldn't have to be so thick if it was a contiguous district. It would talk about the 1,642 square miles and blah, blah, blah. But this one is non-contiguous, so it's amazing the detail that had to be drawn up about sections and 1,000 feet, 1,300,
yes.
and all of that. And that's really what I read is the bulk... maps
yes.
illustrating who's in the district, who's not in the district, so that there's not a lot of confusion. No confusion when your tax bills come. Say, wait a second, I don't think I'm in this, or I didn't get a chance to vote. Why am I paying for this, or whatever? So that's probably the most legally element that is dominant as far as 150 pages
right,
of maps and descriptions.
Sums it up.
Yeah. So
There's an opportunity for somebody to challenge whether they want to be in the district or not.
People can move to withdraw from the district after 2 years. So they have to be in the district for the next 2 years, and then there's a set of statutes that do provide a mechanism for people withdrawing their property either individually, or they can get a group of citizens together to sign a petition and try to withdraw from the district thusly.
Now, do they pay like the irrigation district when you want to get out of the GPID, you have to pay an amount?
That depends on, okay, there's no, I don't know of any fee. No, I don't think there's, but if the, if there's been some bonding or indebtedness that has been incurred during the course of the person's membership in the district, yeah, then the district can assign them.
Okay, pay their share of the bond.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's, the district.
The bond was established.
Right.
While they were in it. So, yes, that's accurate. So, yeah, so somebody
and I would imagine the irrigation district having all of that infrastructure depreciated among all of the recipients at the time of creation might be like in perpetuity of maintenance elements, and you have to, you know, pay out for 10 years of maintenance or 5 years or something like that before you can get out of it. Luckily, we don't do a lot with the irrigation district. We don't even collect the taxes for
that.
That's the one district
years ago, and it was relatively
cheap. 14,
we
collect for 13.
The district.
Now we have 15, we'll collect
for 14. I just know we write a check to the irrigation district and yet do not get to receive any benefits of it. But that's a different topic for a different day.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of crazy.
And that day is coming, I am sure.
Yeah.
But, unavoidably.
Okay. Well, I don't see this as really anything. Do you guys have any... any questions, discussion? I don't think there's a lot of discretion with us on any of these. It's just moving it forward. So
consent calendar?
Page 142, I disagree with the lot line.
It's a consent item, but it's an administrative element as a new policy. So we'll.
I was just teasing.
It might even actually, it doesn't require any kind of a special hearing, or is it going to be?
No.
We'll work out. It's just an administrative element, and then it the is. Same thing with order number item 2B, which is 2017-028, a matter of canvassing interesting term results of the May 16, 2017 election for Josephine Community Library District Board members and issuing certificates of election.
Yes.
So,
well,
yes.
I'm going to ask, why is one declaring and one is canvassing?
Mm. I don't know, Pat. We got this from Jackson County. Do you have any insight on that?
We got a form from Jackson. We did it ourselves. The insight is it's exactly the words from the statute. We always try to use words from the statute.
That's probably pretty safe.
It's pretty safe, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and actually the other one you're canvassing as well, but they're separate because one is going to actually form the district, that, and so DOR gets to look at it and approve it. Where the one for the board members, that one isn't really... DOR doesn't care.
You're
about
not declaring
that.
Anything.
Right,
yeah.
Right. One's going to DOR and the other isn't.
Great. Sounds
didn't
good.
Didn't mean to be a smart aleck. I'm just curious.
Good question.
Five members.
Not my word.
3-year, staggering appointments.
That's right.
And, okay. Sounds good. We'll move that forward as well. Item number C is amendment number 2 to intergovernmental agreement with Oregon Department of Justice for fiber optic cable to be installed between Justice Building and Ambassador. Are you part of this one, Mr. Johnson? More IT, if all?
I've been informed, but I'm not.
Okay, great.
I've seen them out working this week.
Okay.
Mr. Kleber from IT has been overseeing it.
Running point.
Mm-hmm.
This is just extending the deadline, which I, if they're working this last week, it's at in June, and so we need it to extend to the end of June for them to finish up their project. Tangentially probably related, courts related. How, I don't remember where we are with the IGA with facilitating their courtroom remodel project. Do you have a quick update?
I don't have any first-hand information on that.
It's in there. It's in their park, right?
That's, yes.
Department of Justice. Are we done? Are we? Did we sign an IGA?
We have a. Yeah. Okay.
Courtrooms?
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
We have a final IGA.
We've signed it and it's going.
Yeah.
And you're working on it.
Working on bids.
And OJD sent us a signed copy as well.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Well, that
not without
it.
Finding a way to slow the system down again yet. By the way,
sure.
But
I'm sure.
Spare you the details.
That's
on
okay.
That.
We're. I'm all set up on that 2-year
plan. Remodel and everything in the courtrooms, is that going to upset court times and things
yes.
of that sort?
They're going to try to do it around court times, evenings and weekends, but there will be a need for the courts to adjust. And luckily we have 4 judges and 5 courtrooms and haven't been assigned a new judge yet. If this is all, how does that wrinkle? You get a new judge in one of the other courtrooms who says, well, I don't like this setup. This could be fun. It never ends. This is the gift that keeps on giving.
As long as the construction doesn't knock any dirt.
No, it's fairly minor. It's more like furniture.
Kind of like getting your house re-roofed and all the
furniture and
that
carpet stuff. We should be good. This is a false ceiling anyway, but between us and then there's 6 inches of concrete or something, so earthquakes is we have to worry more about that. Looks good. We'll move that forward as an amendment. I think that's kind of a consent calendar item. It's not changing the amount of money or the fact that we're doing it. So it sounds, without an objection, we'll move C to the consent calendar. Anything else that legal has? Quick and easy.
There it is. We're in route.
Big stuff, though. Library district's not small.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We don't do that very often.
Did you get my email about postponing that topic?
I did.
Okay.
So, I left you a voicemail. I don't know that we put it on the agenda, so I don't think it would be a problem to postpone the discussion. So, I don't think we have.
Jefferson?
Yeah.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Sorry, was it on the agenda? Or?
I was making it today. So.
Oh, you're making it today. Okay.
Item number three, Department Business, Juvenile Justice, Third Amendment to IGA with Douglas County for Detention and Juvenile Offenders. We've had this contract for a little while, and even in light of the passage of our levy, we still need to shore up the difference till you can turn the lights back on.
That's right. Morning.
Morning.
Morning, Mr. Goodman. How
are
you?
Very well, thank you. You probably have the one-page amendment, mm-hmm. which is it's actually a great way to do it. I have the 14-page original document, but what we've done is simply the last 2 years in a row asking for the third year in a row to just change the date. All the terms are the same. Everything's the same. So not to exhaust anyone with
a little under $10,000
all of the details, correct.
And all the...
And the big thing on page 6 is the 30-day written notice to terminate the contract by either party, which is key here because we will be rolling as quickly as we can to get our facility
open. One of the
open,
things that I'd like to consider is that we've been kind of restricted to the 3 specific beds and the additional days if necessary. You don't have that fiscal restriction that you necessarily did. What I'm trying to say is that you haven't hired people yet, and you might not hire people for a little while.
Right.
There is discretion within this current contract to be able to use an additional 1,000, I mean, or a total 1,040-something beds per year. I just want to have a discussion with the board and maybe give you direction to say something to the effect of, don't feel like you can only use 3. You can use
your 1,000 beds.
You can use them up,
right.
And you're expected like 6 months. If Douglas County has the capacity, you need the freedom to be able to work, and it's definitely within your budget.
That would be a good transition, because if we said, okay, you're going to go from 3 to 6 up there, is that what you're saying?
Something like that, or whatever
the need is. 6 for 6 months, right. Instead of 3 for a year.
Right.
That's a good transition, because then you'd be able to ramp up your program up there and then bring it in when you're ready for them down here.
Right, and what would be nice about that is some time, I guess for lack of a better phrase, to retrain local law enforcement, because there are a lot of what we would call lodgeable offenses or mm-hmm. crimes that happen where they simply cite, there's not maybe a direct danger or whatever, they cite the youth to appear to court, we get the report later. Well, it's much easier and cleaner on the front end to detain that youth, take them to court the next day, even if they're released the following day or a couple days later. And that will take some time to get law enforcement back into the loop on that. So definitely with the board's blessing, we would go forth with.
Okay.
Does law enforcement have access to your inventory over there?
They do. We keep them.
They've got a kid, and can they call in and say,
yes,
you got a hold for him?
We have someone, a management staff or a probation officer on call 7 days a week, and we do very
that number.
Good job getting emails out to them saying, okay, here's where we are now. We do have 3 beds full, but serious charge, call us and we'll see what we can do, kind of a thing.
Okay.
That's always been the policy. And Douglas, by the way, has been very, very accommodating with that.
I mentioned that to both their chair, Boyce, and Commissioner Freeman. I don't see Leaf as much as you guys probably do, but Commissioner Leaf. And they just, how can we help, you know? That everybody's going through challenges, and it's nice that we're graduating from that challenge and moving into something more positive and stable. So, yeah, I think you need to feel the freedom to be able to do what you need to do, as long as Douglas County's okay with it, if that makes sense with the board.
Great. But I believe legal has signed off.
It said that they had.
Is that right? Okay.
It has.
And then, so how we have been doing it, I guess this has to happen in business session on Wednesday.
It will, if that's okay.
Should I come and be available to speak?
I think because it's an extension of a date, I'm willing to handle it. Can we do consent?
We could, yes,
I'm
absolutely.
I'm willing to put it on consent and we
unless
can cover
you,
it.
Unless you wanted to appear just to be.
I.
You showed up yesterday.
I can find something else.
Fun of it.
Might not hurt to have you on camera for just a little bit.
I think.
I can definitely be there. That is not a problem.
Not a bad situation.
That and sounds really good then.
Well, that's true. Getting the word out there of what we're doing is not a bad idea.
Okay.
You might talk a little bit more about than just the contract.
So right.
Feel free. We'll give you a little bit more time.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good one. See you next week.
Yes.
It'll be on the consent calendar.
Okay.
Moving right along. Item number 3B is Airports Intergovernmental Agreement number 32151 with State of Oregon Department of Aviation for 2017 Statewide Airport Pavement Maintenance Program at Grants Pass Airport. State Sponsorship Agreement, Department of Transportation, Federal Aviation Administration.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So this is a happy one. There's not a lot of work involved for all of us in this. The state receives a block grant from the FAA every year. And they administer that block grant by going through a three-year rotation with all the airports in the state and going through a pavement maintenance program. So our last one was in 2014. We're up for this one this summer here at both airports. And we're going to have a major pavement maintenance event at the Grants Pass Airport, which will involve removing all the paint from the runway, going through and doing a crack seal and an inspection, and then a complete slurry seal coat on the entire runway, and then a complete repainting. So it's a substantial job. It's going to take probably close to a week.
Is the paint reflective so you can see from the air?
It is.
Upon approach or
something? It is. It's filled with glass beads. What they do is they put a sacrificial paint coat on for the immediately after the slurry seal, because the slurry seal will burn through the paint. So they don't put the final paint on. And then 30 days after, once the slurry seal has had a chance to cure, and in the summer that'll happen pretty quickly, it'll gas off quite a bit. Then they come back and they'll put in the final coat of paint. But they put a sacrificial coat down so that the runway is usable immediately.
Yeah, I've seen it. Where was I the other day? And there was, what do you call that? The plastic. The striping.
Oh, the tape. It's like a pink tape.
Or they call that.
Yeah.
Kind of what they do with our crosswalks and stuff now. They heat it up and they melt it in.
Yeah, heat it up and it actually adheres to it.
Yeah.
But evidently they must have done that and it gassed off. They did it too soon.
It's not allowed on
all of it was laying on the side of the road and there was big chunks of it. It was all laying in the bar ditch. Looked like somebody went out.
That must have been in somebody else's county.
You know what happened? Literally, yeah. That stuff gets hot. And a big truck will run over one end of it,
at the
gore point on an exit on an off ramp. I see this on freeway off ramps all the time. And the truck runs it over and picks up the tape, and it just pulls it all the way off as it's going down the road, and then deposits it in a big heap, by the side of the road. Yeah. Anyway, we don't use that on runways for obvious reasons. Yeah. It's literally paint. And they mix in glass beads, which are reflective, as they're spraying the paint onto the runway. They're not mixed into the liquid. It just gets mixed in at the spray bar. So it's quite elaborate.
And they're updating the striping too, correct?
They are updating the striping. And that's one of the things I'm really proud of, in that to change the striping on your runway is it's an act of Congress, practically. It's just amazing. Well, we have this new instrument approach that requires us to change the runway striping in order to meet the qualifications for a non-precision instrument approach procedure. And the engineering firm that's in charge of doing the pavement maintenance is Century West. They are one of the candidates for being an engineering consulting firm for airports here in the airports. So they understand airport work very, very well. And they are going to change that runway striping for us and work all the paperwork with the FAA and make sure that we're good
just
to go.
Just in with their job of restriping that runway.
That's correct. Yeah, within the pavement maintenance program. So, I've been in touch with Heather Peck, who administers the pavement maintenance for ODA, the Oregon Department of Aviation. She reports directly to Mitch Swecker, the director, and then my project manager at the FAA up in Seattle, and Century West Engineering. They haven't chosen the contractor yet because all the contracts are held up right now in DOJ for review. But once that is released, we anticipate all the pavement maintenance jobs in the whole state are going to go out to bid this month. And they'll award the contract and get everybody mobilized and working before the end of July. And we're probably the first airport in the queue, which is good because they're publishing our instrument approach on August 17th, and we have to have that runway striping done before they will publish the instrument approach. So it's...
Is there a deadline? Is there a like an enrollment time that you can... You're saying you have to be able to publicize your instrument approach. Mm-hmm. Can you only do that once a year?
It's every 54 days.
Okay.
And so the FAA will choose a target date, and this is it's a big deal because it's the very first time it's been published. It's a brand new approach,
right.
And it's highly anticipated. They set the publication date a year ago, and that way we would have the target. We would know that, you know, here's the date by which we have to have everything done, and we had to have the airport weather observation system installed. We had to have all the trees cut down that were encroaching on the airspace. We had to have the runway restriped. We had to have a whole list of things finished before that publication date. And it takes time. It's amazing how long it takes to get everything done. But
you're on target.
We're going to make it.
I have a couple of questions, Larry.
Yes,
is there any consideration in the restriping to the development of the East Side Taxiway?
There is.
And accommodating that? Okay.
Absolutely. And that's a great question because we will have...
I didn't want you guys to restripe it and then find yourself in a year needing to restripe
it. Go back and repair it.
Well,
there's... I can explain the mitigation process. I mean, it's... Basically, when we're putting in that taxiway, we're going to have two connectors that join the taxiway to the runway.
Right.
And the asphalt trucks, when they're laying down the asphalt, they would prefer to just drive figure eights back and forth and do this dog bone pattern and lay the asphalt down on the connector between the new taxiway and the runway. But what that involves is making a U-turn on the runway, okay? Now, while all this is happening, the runway's closed and it's safe and everything, okay? But the workers would prefer, if you just give them their own head, go out there and do U-turns on the runway, okay? Well, a 60,000-pound vehicle making a sharp U-turn, it tears the asphalt right up. I mean, it'll just smear this new slurry seal right off the ground. So there will be a pre-construction conference with the guys driving the trucks, where we will tell them, you're going to back up to the runway, drop the asphalt in a straight line, maneuver at the other end on the taxiway, back up to the runway again, drop the asphalt, and just do it that way until we have this 35-foot wide taxi lane completely done. And you
right.
will not drive on the runway. You're not allowed to drive on the runway.
Absolutely.
Period. That's just one of the many considerations, because
yeah, nice.
We're going to have that brand new runway, new slurry seal, new striping. Yeah. And that'll all happen.
Well, how many times
we got three construction
Commissioner
projects?
Young
all
and
at the
I
same
seen,
time.
Or Commissioner Morgan as well, seen ODOT do a new pavement project, and then the next thing you know, next week, they didn't coordinate with the utility infrastructure that needs to go in there, and so they're
yes.
cutting through brand new asphalt,
and
then it's patched, and then it's that
it's
way for 20 years,
new.
And it's just like, who doesn't think about these things?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
You know, there has to be
some coordination.
A single overarching supervisor to the whole thing. And,
yeah.
and I, a perfect example, yesterday the job foreman for PP&L was at the airport to survey and to check the survey to make sure that all these giant pole locations were correct and to work out a conflict they have with Avista because we have a gas line running underneath the transmission line easement.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to put a pole right on top of the gas line.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah.
Little
so. So I come out, and I'm looking at where they have the PP&L surveyors put this pole, and it's 50 feet off from where it should be. It's not in line with the existing transmission lines. It's sitting on top of a junction of an Avista line with a branch that goes to one of the hangars. It was completely wrong, and it was outside of the easement that we have granted to PP&L to have that line running parallel to our property line.
Right.
We gave them a 25-foot easement. That line is supposed to go right down the center, 12 and a half feet from the fence, okay? This thing was 40 feet off from the easement. So, I mean, I just...
The irony is...
These
are this people's full-time job. Like, this is their core competency.
Full-time job, yeah. You know, and so all the PP&L guys were going to do it wrong. You know, the engineering drawing had some problems with it, and you know, so I redlined everything and circled it all with a yellow highlighter. And I called Tom Ide, the VP at Williams Highway PP&L office, and I just said, hey, I need to talk to that foreman. I mean, get him back here, you know. And so we sat down, looked at the drawing, and he went back out and remeasured everything, and it's like, yeah, you're right. It needs to be here, here, and here. So
this is why they cost $400,000.
Yeah,
they have to do it three times.
$400,000 for these guys. Well, give me $400,000. I'll take care of the job.
Yeah. Update on the CORE grants while you're here. I got an email from you last week that says that goes back to the March 6th.
Yes.
They've approved you billing against these appropriated grants.
The issue, once again, the CORE grant contracts were being held up by DOJ. We didn't have the contract. The policy was you can't get reimbursement for any of the money you spend prior to signing a contract. Well, that just blows us out of the water. We stood to lose $123,000. So they announced last Friday, just 4 days ago, they announced a policy decision that they would allow all costs incurred after March 7th.
I had a really good conversation with Carmen Fore about this issue, and we haven't spoken since then, but I imagine it may have had something to do with that. So I was pretty passionate about, you know, you orchestrate this whole program. It's not going to look good for the governor to have this done by the legislature, and then it's screwed up at the administrative level because, you know, you guys didn't get your stuff together.
She
totally got everything.
Yeah.
Carmen's really solid. So.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that the issue of legal review for contract templates and even contracts that are identical from 1 year to the next, just you change the dates, like the IGA with Jim's, they get held up in DOJ review, and it's a systemic issue in the state of Oregon. It's terrible.
Systemic and legal and Oregon.
Well, I think, you know, their job is to be paranoid about the potential liability. They don't have the luxury for cost benefit analysis on the policy side, which we do. What are we out if this is wrong on this nth degree?
Yeah.
We're out whatever. But holding these things back means $123,000. That's not their money.
Right.
They don't, that's not their consideration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think
is the language.
And so, you know, ODA, Mitch Swecker and company made the right call.
Good.
And they're constantly happy. They're basically contravening, you know, state policy and procedure by doing that. However, I'm going to help them. I'm going to go along with it.
Yeah, good.
So we have two documents that we would ask that the commissioners sign. One is a federal document, which is essentially says we promise to adhere to all the federal grant assurances and the usual specifications, regulations, rules, etc., that we do with a normal straight FAA grant. And the other document is the IGA between Josephine County and the state, who is administering this program with FAA money.
So I see this as a new thing, and it's probably an administrative element, but we'll put both of those together in the same approval. So
that'd be great.
I wouldn't mind if you came and spoke to this as an issue, if that's okay.
And looking at the contract, we'll need to keep in mind that we, for one of them, need to authorize you to sign.
Okay.
And authorize the manager to sign in other areas.
Okay.
There's space for one in one section. There's space for two in another section. It's kind of a...
Great.
We'll see you next Wednesday if you can be there.
Wednesday morning.
Okay, great.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Commissioner Morgan will be chairing that meeting, more than likely.
5:30.
It's an evening meeting.
Ah, yes, it is.
Is that okay?
The 14th. Yeah, I have another meeting on Wednesday night on the 14th, but I'll miss that one.
If you work it out with your liaison or something like that, it's up to you.
You give me the write-up of what to say, I can say it.
Okay. appreciate that.
Yeah.
Good.
All right.
Good work.
Good.
Hey. I was over at Sun River for a conference, and I ran through their airport and their, what is their airport place where people come together?
Yeah, the FBO there?
The FBO yeah. there. Wasn't Beautiful. Anybody in there. It's really nice, really cute and quaint.
Yeah.
But I think they had something on their roof that said, you know, welcome to Sun River or something like that. Mm-hmm. They obviously don't want for money. I mean, the facilities are beautiful.
It's a privately owned airport.
Yeah. I wonder if that's something that we could work into the future hangar development, or if you're going to re-roof any of those existing hangars. Mm-hmm. The next time we're doing something, it would be really cool if it would welcome to Grants Pass on it.
We're going to be re-roofing a section of one of our maintenance buildings.
If it's the right building to do it on, I'd really like to see something of that American flag, welcome to GP, I don't know.
And I'm going to be the devil advocate here, because people from Merlin are going, this is a Grants Pass, this is Merlin Airport.
It's called the Grants Pass Airport.
Yeah.
Is it called the Grants Pass
It's called
Airport?
The Grants Pass Airport.
And people who've lived here all their lives, all of them call it the Merlin Airport. I mean, it's 3CRA.
Welcome to Josephine it's County. I don't care what you call it.
We need to have welcome sign up there.
Something.
And Medford had to build a new terminal for their Medford International Rogue Valley Airport.
Yeah,
Well, they have a monument that goes out across. Yeah, I think so.
And
I
they spend the runway just to put their name on.
Well, you know that really
you
horrific...
You got to use that again.
That's horrific, great. Ugly trailer that you comment on
Stellar.
Every time you come out. I have plans to replace that.
Good.
And we could put, you know, I mean, Grants Pass Airport right on the side of that, you know, once we...
Yeah, I think we probably should get a sign out there, you know, really dress it up.
Yep.
So, okay. That's all great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
See you Wednesday.
Are you sure? Or we'll chat.
Well, yeah, we'll chat.
Item number four, A, is building operations. We have a department update. Mr. Johnson.
Good morning.
Well, we got a lot of projects going on, so if there's any in particular that I don't touch on, feel free to ask questions.
Great.
Larry led into the roofing projects that we're working on. We got two roofs we're going to do out at the airports. Sounds like we're going to add some welcome
decal or
something.
Definitely one.
Yeah, so we got those
two. Look at it from an aviator's standpoint when you're coming in. I mean, that's what... You got all these street signs for people who drive to Josephine County. We support veterans. We need to
have something when they're looking down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll work with Larry on that.
Perfect.
Go back at some of the old Aztec writings and stuff, see how it's done.
Yeah.
Looking at it from the air.
Perfect.
Crop circles.
We're also doing a roof out at Search and Rescue. Finishing up the painting at the fairgrounds. That turned out really, really nice.
Great.
Is that on the roof of on the roof. One with the
floral building there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, had all the solar panels, about 35 of them. So we're getting ready to set those back up there.
We're doing a roof at the search and at the SAR facility?
Yeah, the radio room and the office.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, a question on the painting out there. Do they give any guarantee on that? I mean, like, for instance, when you buy metal roofing, you buy it with a 20-year, 30-year, 40-year coating. It's all the same coating, but you're buying a guarantee because I used to do a lot of that work.
Yeah.
It's all the same coating? It's just a number of layers? Or
no. Just so you know. You're just buying
just
the
so
warranty.
I know. Thank you very much.
You're buying the warranty is what you're buying.
Yeah.
So, but does the painting itself, you know, when you go back in and paint, is there any specified warranty that's going to last 5 years? It isn't going to peel, chip, or flake in 5 years?
Yeah, I believe it is 5 years.
Okay.
Granted that the application's done according to the manufacturer's specifications, so we kept an eye on that, and it appears to be the case.
I don't care how they did it, but I just wanted to see that if next year it all runs off the roof, you know, and you go, whoa, what happened there? Oh, I use that water-based stuff.
Yeah, and we actually, we had a request to supply the paint and then have a contractor apply it, and we chose not to do that just so we don't have that finger pointing happening.
Right. Great idea.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like,
great idea.
Yeah.
So, we're going strictly by the manufacturer's recommendation. You do everything. If he says to soak it in salt water, your brush in salt water for a month, you do that.
Right.
And then he's got no out.
Yeah, our hands are clean. Come on back and fix it. So, perfect. That's the goal.
Blue?
Trial by?
Blue?
It's blue. Yeah. It's pretty much the same color when it was brand new. Looks pretty good.
There's the aerial of the airport. The Grants Pass is just on the taxiway there. So no building currently has it. So the potential for you adding it to the appropriate spot is...
Yeah, it's the maintenance office is one of the areas we're doing. It's a long flat roof, so it might work.
You don't have to do it on this one. I know that we're building additional hangars or replacing some in the future. Okay. Just want that consideration done.
That would be good because we've already got the bids.
It's just on the taxiway.
And right now getting...
It wouldn't be, I would imagine, with that contract. It would be something you put over it maybe or...
After.
After.
Yeah, okay.
Ideally, I wouldn't want to put it on an already, like a tin roof or an already metal roof. I don't know. I'm sure it's been done before, so we'll figure out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Washington Annex roof that we did last fall, we have one change order left to do on that, and it's exactly like we were talking about with the floral building. The manufacturer says you need to add a couple more drains, so the contractor has to come back and put these additional drains. We're also doing some roofing out at parks. We got about a half a dozen roofs we're going to try to take care of this summer.
And do you subcontract all that out? Are you roofing to a qualified contractor?
Yes.
We're not doing that in-house?
No. There is a lot of time invested by our department, you know, policing the project and so forth, but no, we let them take care of it, and it's warranted. Yeah. Courts. You had brought up the courtrooms. We're working on that. We have the final IGA. The issue is, like with other projects, is we're getting contractors declining to bid. We bring them out, we spend time with them, and then they go back and they decide, no, it's not worth it. So far, we've got one bid and two declined to bid, and we're waiting on a third, which my thought is they're going to decline as well.
Huh.
So I'm going to check with legal and see at what point we can just move forward with the bid that we do have.
If you feel like they're okay, you know, you have to attempt, and I don't know that we have specified in this one number of people that we have to go out with, but they'll tell you we can probably move forward.
Yeah, I know if we went with a formal RFP and we only had one bid, we'd move forward.
Yep.
You know, I just want to make sure, since we're doing it for the courts, that, you know.
We want to make sure we're doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Why the decline? Are they just, it's just out of their league?
The prevailing wage, extra paperwork, the schedule, and they're actually throwing out high numbers to the private sector, and people are willing to pay it just to get to the top of the list. So, and we typically aren't going to do that. Yeah. So.
We're up against a deadline for appropriating these.
I didn't see anything in the IGA as far as getting the contract in place like we had originally talked for June.
All right, good.
I'm going to refresh my memory on it. Yeah. But it looks like October. We just need to be done.
Great.
So that's, you know, at this point going to be pushing it.
Yeah.
But we'll get it done.
Okay.
We have had some success getting bids on our card access for multiple buildings.
Cool.
And hopefully we can move forward with that in the fall and the winter. No sense in doing that in the summer when it's an indoor project.
That sounds great.
Yeah, so that's going well. Our high-dollar project right now is the camera system at the jail. We're finishing that up. We had a corrupted download of the software, so they're working through that. Requires them to reload all the software to the computers and then go back and touch all 115 cameras.
Wow.
So not good for them. You know, inconvenient for us, but not good for the contractor. Yeah.
Bummer.
So, but the sheriff's department's very happy with the progress so far.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So.
Did it improve resolution? I mean, are the new cameras and stuff, are they higher def than?
Yeah, they're actually high definition. One of the issues we're working on now is the frames per second, because it's digital. One of the corruption problems was during a recording. When they were playing it back to see a fight that happened, they they seen the guy fall, but they actually didn't see who swung because there was several people around him, and because it was choppy, they didn't see who actually threw the punch because it was a frame, and then 2 seconds later, another frame.
Oh.
It's like, oh, this is not good. So they've got that part fixed.
I think we want to make sure that they're high enough resolution where we can tell which finger they're pointing at.
Exactly, yeah. So, and we don't want it to look like one of those old cartoon strips where you're flipping the pages. We tested the paint on the floor at the commercial building. Mm-hmm. It did come back with lead in it. It's not lead-based, but they are recommending that it's not sandblasted. And
okay.
Pass that on to Peggy, so I'm not sure where that is as well.
What's the options for peeling that up? Paint remover or something?
Yeah, chemical strip. Yeah, or a grinding with a vacuum. I know that they had somebody, I'm not sure who did it last year, came in and ground some of the trip hazards, and that had a vacuum on it. It's possible that they could put, you know, a sanding type apparatus on there mm-hmm. and do it that way.
I've seen the sandblasters with that. They had it at like a NACO conference where it's glass beads and it recirculates them, but it brings the dust particles out. It's attached to like a, I mean, it was an industrial application. It was kind of, it was for removing graffiti off of walls, and it had no effect on the wall. It just removed the paint. So
just
it was really,
with that, the glass bead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, there's some.
For $300,000, you also can buy that equipment and have it on. No, I'm just kidding.
Probably.
Yeah, there's a few ways they can go. My only concern is that it's volunteers.
I like to write big. I'm just kidding.
Oh, you're banned.
That's the luxury of. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it is volunteers that are doing the project, so, you know.
Oh, dear.
I always have a little bit of concern with that.
Yeah, I was just, you know, and said, oh, yeah, we're, you know, we've got a guy that's going to come in and blast that off there. I went, wait a minute. You know, you better make sure there isn't lead in that, or you'll be out there sweeping the parking lot for 300 feet in each direction and hauling it all off to Hanford, you know?
Yeah, and even sandblasting in general, we've had some claims in the past for because of the silica. Oh, going back to the roofs real quick, we do have a couple of roofs at the fairgrounds that are just kind of in limbo. The 4-H barn area, the arena, we're kind of hands off at this point until we have some direction. So.
I think we're going to lean into the 4-H barns this year. The arena, it's still in a, you know, maintain it as best we can situation. I can't justify putting $250,000, $500,000 roof on a building that's not worth that.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, one of the things when I was still liaison, I told Peggy and the contractor that were out there, we need an engineering study of this building so that we're not guessing about what it's capable of, what needs improved upon or anything else like that. Looking at the underneath, the shoring up underneath, and what damage is there, what the life of it is.
Had that done with him, didn't you?
It was actually the former fairgrounds manager before Mary.
Wes Brown.
Yes.
Had somebody come and do an evaluation.
I never received a copy of it.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, I've tried to track it down.
Because they were, I mean, I remember they pointed out posts that were deficient and stuff, but
I saw some.
Overall result was that it's structurally sound.
Yeah. If the building's salvageable, then we need to move forward with the roof and go from there. If the building has to be overhauled in such a way that it's not, then we have to rethink a plan.
I think we need to talk about it because it's.
I want to look at a longer range approach to that. You know, that facility? Because I've heard. You know, that for actual, to do some certain horse events and whatnot, the actual arena, the floor of the arena is too small. It needs to be out 10 more feet on each side or something of that sort.
Yeah.
Before you can have a sanctioned event or something of that sort.
My challenge is I can't really put $250,000 on a building that really, it doesn't fulfill the needs of what we want to do with the fairgrounds, but I don't know what we want to do with the fairgrounds, but I'm pretty sure that it does. It's limited in what we can do with the facility that we have there. I know that the ADA element, when that study came back, was going to be extremely expensive to make it ADA compatible. And so you're putting money into something that isn't compliant. And once you start making changes on that, you have to make it compliant. It's like, oh, dear.
I don't want to guess. I want to have an evaluation of that building so we know the exact status of what it is and what we need to do so we can make a plan that's based on real information and not gut. Because, quite frankly, I don't want to have another. It is being used right now. The potential of continuing to use it is there. But the cost that we're nickel and diming for putting tarps over it is also not financially beneficial. And $250,000 to re-roof it, or we're spending $50,000 a year on tarps. Well, we're there in spending the money. So we have to think that we don't want a repeat of Dimmock.
Yeah,
where something, if it is capable of being salvaged and usable, and as they're restructuring what they're using as a fair board as far as events and different things like that, if they're able to do more and the cost is less and it'll still last however many more, it is worth the investment. But unless we do an evaluation of the building, we're all just conjecture and not really knowing what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I told them in February, we need this building head-to-toe evaluation so we know exactly what we're dealing with so we can make an educated decision about what are we going to do.
I would like to look even farther out than that if we could, because the definition of a county fair and what and the purpose it served has changed from when I was a kid to go out there to see the world's biggest pumpkin and the eggplant this big around and so on and so forth. That was then, and this is now. And how has the actual definition and concept of what's expected of a county fair, how has that changed? Because, ag and livestock and stuff, I don't know how important that is anymore to our community, where we used to have, hop yards and mint farms and timber and strawberry patches and Rogue River, you go pick strawberries. Now that's all housing development over there. But that was a big strawberry patch. You can pick there, you can go work for the mint farms or the hops, and that's all gone. And so I want to take an evaluation of what's the definition and the purpose of a county fair.
And all of those vegetables and fruits are still submitted every year for being judged. And then, so one of the buildings is just vegetables. One of them is just flowers and different things. One's just art. So there is still some of that stuff going on.
I think it's a good conversation we should structure.
But I think we really need to look at it. Right time. Maybe we can improve on that.
Yeah, and I think some of those questions need to be answered. Is it a convention center? Is it a horse arena?
Right.
Before we have the study, so we know what are we studying it against, what kind of heating and air do we need to have in the building, depending on what we're going to use. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There isn't any study that's ever going to tell me that building facilitates the needs of the community today. It doesn't. It won't, even with a new roof. And so I appreciate you needing a study. I've seen a study. I read a study. It said it's structurally sound. It doesn't change my opinion that I still can't invest $250,000 in a roof to put lipstick on a pig. I want a vision, ideally, that says we need that Klamath County arena that facilitates indoor soccer as well as it facilitates a rodeo in barrel racing, because it doesn't do that right now very well, and that's really the only use. You can't do soccer in there. Yeah. Even what it's supposed to be for, it doesn't do very well.
Yeah.
And if you compare it to Jackson County, just that one alone, it's too small.
Yeah.
We can't lure in the same. That's my impression.
So do we have this discussion with the fair board, with the fair manager, with the who needs to be at that meeting to have the discussion about the future of that property?
We want to know what we want to discuss.
Because the cost of those buildings to get what Klamath built an arena like Jackson County Fair has that is multiple surface and all that kind of stuff, that's quite cost prohibitive as well. And when we have a department that is known that a roof needs replaced and they've budgeted for it and they've had the money in the budget a couple years, they're expecting to be replaced.
Which county?
Ours.
Department.
Fairgrounds says they have the money budgeted.
No. They don't have the money. They will go into the red at the end of this fiscal year. They don't have the money to maintain their buildings.
Okay.
They don't have the money to do this.
That was
all.
The statement I was told is the money's been budgeted
not
to re.
Even close.
I put it as one of the projects on our list every year in case the board choose chose to go.
The only way they're paying for that is a loan from the property reserve.
Okay, so that's different information than I was presented with.
And I still won't even go higher up than that to say, is that the proper place for the fairgrounds, or do we move the fairgrounds some to a new location and build a whole new fairgrounds structured towards today's needs? That's what I'm thinking.
I think everything's on the table, and that's just a board discussion at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. The fair board will come in, I think, to answer your question, Commissioner Morgan. We kind of have a level question.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a fair board discussion. That's a
no,
board
but
of
at what point do we continue maintenance to protect our investment
of
what we have
totally
versus
agree.
By the time that convention center potentially is built, we're talking a 20-year process. In the 20 years. I'm hoping
not.
It's sooner.
Yeah.
But when you look at a urban renewal district, which is where this plan is a part of in the partnership with the city, that was a 20-year project of all the projects. Which ones came first, which ones come later?
If we made it a priority, we could get it done in 4 or 5.
And that's a great idea. We need lodging on the south end of the river. We need
to structure this conversation for a general discussion. I think it's really ripe for it.
I do too.
It's the right time, and I don't want the roof to guide the conversation. We need to do the vision thing that you guys are both talking about and saying, and then you work back and say, did we just figure out that it pencils to make this roof workable for the 5-7 years? Or didn't we? And that's what people are going to judge our decision upon. We had a vision. We're working to this, and that factors in.
I think the timing is right to take a look at the whole thing, you know, from way up and say, what do we want to do with that in the town or, you know, that part of our county and community? But look at it now, especially at the beginning of our term.
Absolutely.
So, you know, don't wait until 2 years from now and go, oh, okay, now we're going to start in on this because... I think you know, now would be time just to open the discussion.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. And from my perspective, we're still just barely maintaining. It's a low-level maintenance that we're doing out there because of the cost.
Well, I look at five years ago, that thing was destined to close down. I mean,
right.
You know, you were just looking for which size padlock to put on the front door.
Right, yeah.
But that, you know, Mary Gross turned the thing around.
She did.
Where it's, you know, it did a fantastic job. She got through the 100 years. That was the thing that I wanted to see, is that the 100-year anniversary was satisfied. That's monumental when you can have a facility last 100 years anywhere.
Right.
And so, but that 100 years is gone. Maybe now the new centurion is to say, okay, 100 years, let's build a new one. And
well,
go
you're
for
sitting
another.
In a 100-year-old building.
So this is one project that we have to work on.
I'm not coming.
The other project that I think the board is really interested in trying to investigate, timing is probably unfortunate that we do it before the fall, at least making preliminary pad types of proposed changes. I don't want to work in the wintertime on relocating the evidence facility, you know, consolidating that to the sheriff's, the
property
jail's
over
property over there, and freeing up 3.5 acres or so of prime industrial land over there or commercial land, and getting Carrie and evidence like in a place what was set up and helps her keep everything organized and is on a schedule and stuff. So I don't know how to, I think it's a facilities type of a conversation with Carrie to sit down and talk about maybe you guys have already, a year ago we talked about this and she's toured or you've toured other evidence facilities and said these are the ones that I think we should emulate and they work really well and they're lower cost and we can do on that campus. So I think leaning into that conversation rather sooner just to get that foundation stuff laid out would be really helpful.
Yeah, I think we're going to be spending a lot of time ramping up for a lot of these different things. Jail ramping up, patrol,
yep,
just trying to fit everybody.
It would be
staff.
Nice to have a footprint for those things, evidence and patrol and everything. It'd be nice to have that footprint so we know what's left.
Yeah.
With the rest of the facility.
Right.
You know, we're not okay, we're putting all these things in there. So, oops, this is a jail.
Yeah.
There's nothing left.
We don't have enough room for this
For the intended purpose.
Right.
I don't mind starting that conversation. It's really a sheriff's office thing eventually, but I think from a facilities to start out, what does it look like? I'm happy to host that, not next week, but the following one with Carrie, anyone the sheriff wants, obviously, your office, and maybe we go, I don't know, I don't need to go out there. I need to look at it on a map and say we can make out this area right here, and then we bring back a presentation that says we delineate.
And I do need to go out there, so sometime okay. you and I could go out and maybe sit down with the sheriff and say, okay, this would work for you, Sheriff.
Well, if you have time next week, maybe, and then we can have that conversation started and then have stuff
I'll
worked
be gone.
Out.
Yeah.
So okay.
We'll touch base.
Yeah, I don't really have any other major projects that you didn't touch on already. Did you have anything?
I'm just curious about out here, when is that process starting?
He's going to bring back a proposal.
Yeah, we're putting together
final touches
on. One of the things that was brought up the other day was the ADA ramp into there. We want to incorporate that into our landscape.
Ideally, I think that really makes a lot of sense. There's a security element to that access point on the side. As long as Commissioner Morgan's sitting over there, it's okay. But I'm going to be sitting over there next year or whatever. And I'm going to, anyway, just kidding.
I'm ducking behind you. That's all there is to it.
So if you wouldn't mind to consider that in your guys' proposed designs, that you're not doing anything that would impact us being able to maybe do that in the future.
Yeah, and at this point, it's just, doodling on a piece of paper.
Right.
We're really not getting, architecture or anything like that. The one thing that I've mentioned is maybe we should put some fencing up there, just get some temporary, the green fabric fencing. Just for security alone, the health and cleanliness, security,
How soon can that happen?
That can happen
early
next week. We can put some fencing up, leave a path 6 foot wide for people to come through.
Okay.
And just mark it as a construction zone and, keep out part of that area.
Yeah.
I think the sooner the better. They're doing the construction on the other side. It's probably not a bad time to just block it off. I know that the city is interested in us following up, and I think
it's really funny you move that and it moves over here.
Oh, pardon me.
No, it's fine.
My mouse is attached, but I gave him my computer to look at the Google Earth of the jail. I would like to do that. The other piece of it is with the cards. When you do that, can Ann Basker go on as well?
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, we can leave those back doors secure, and we have our cards that can come up and access to get in.
Absolutely. If we move the ADA, that would be huge.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the way the design should have always been, is having everybody come in the front door. It feels, almost bad that we have handicapped people coming in the back door, so to speak. I don't mind coming in the back door. I'm just the help. But our guests should be coming in the front door like everybody else.
Well, that other side of the building is just completely nobody can watch it because they don't watch it from the city side, and we can't see it from the county side. So that's kind of a no man's land out there, and I don't want that to become
the new,
right?
We have a plan that we've worked on for a couple of years with the city on. They had some proposed things that they wanted to do over there, and Ryan and I have a vision for what we'd like to see, and we'll bring the one that you guys are working on first, get that one kind of underway, and then we'll work on the other one.
Maybe unless we can save money and do them both at the same time.
Possibly. That makes a lot of sense.
It'd be nice
too,
to see the whole...
Do elements.
The vision of it, because I think if we're going to make that correction over there between the city hall and the courthouse and upgrade that whole section, we've got a weed patch on the other side.
Yeah, we might as well.
Possibility we can
do it
make a picnic area with a cart and swipe to get into
that. Yeah, exactly.
And it could be a shared project with the city of ponying up money and helping us out, so it's not all ours.
I would agree.
It's too bad we couldn't just flip-flop the two areas. Then we'd have our our break picnic area.
Ideal.
But on the other side,
Okay.
Sorry,
that's what I have.
I mean, the potential of when you look at the outline for the disability access, it can still potentially stay. I don't know.
We'll get a plan.
If we do have something over there, like an employee's deal, it'd be nice for it to be camered so you can surveillance look out there, make sure when nobody's there that somebody's watching them.
Yeah,
we'll work on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Either way, if you're changing it, it doesn't have to stay what you have it as right now because you're changing it.
Yep.
So the visioning of what you want it to be, we can look at all of that.
Right.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right.
Really.
Have a good day.
And next week we'll get together next week and go tour the jail.
Sounds good.
That'd be fantastic. We can go to the sheriff.
I'll touch base with
him
early in the week.
Mr. O'Hare.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I have the main
issue. I'm bringing back the AOC dues payment, so we wanted to wait until after the Western Regional Conference. And anything changed?
No.
I think I see it.
The question was the Council of Forest Trust land, I believe.
It's fine.
That
in
seemed
my
to be
opinion.
An appropriate thing to pay. I mean, it's a couple, few hundred dollars.
It's not much.
A lot.
Yep.
But and it gives you the voting rights within the AOC to participate in that.
I'm a co-chair of that subcommittee, and we're adopting new bylaws. It was really cumbersome before. You had to wait till the annual meeting to do elections and change bylaws, and it was an overreaction to understructure, and now we're getting to a place. I've got to approve them today and stuff, and we'll present them to the delegates and get it done. It's really supposed to be helping out the PILT program reauthorization, and without this structure, there is advocacy through AOC and NACO that's going on that effort. We're big supporters of PILT. It has the potential to be much more of a revenue stream for Josephine County. They are not totally tied, but they are a little bit, and I have trouble explaining exactly how, and everybody does. They are tied, but we do know that when Secure Rural Schools money go down or zeros out, PILT resources will be improved. And so we don't know to the degree, but Lake County has given preliminary numbers out. I don't really feel like they're necessary to share because Lake County may be 100% off, and nobody really knows. So we put it in our budget for PILT payments to be pretty close to last year, right around 750-ish thousand, and we'll keep them there until we know different.
Well, we know Lake County is the financial center of Oregon, so they're a good place to.
I didn't want to be anything
numbers.
Condescending among Commissioner Shawn. I appreciate him actually going into that effort. Yes. Somebody should be, you know, it shouldn't be a mystery. We should kind of know, but we don't. And we will after this year. We don't get that payment until June.
So this year's payment, we should be receiving any time now.
And this one may not change.
I doubt it will.
But it's the next one that could.
We've gone from, I'll say, 7-8 years ago, we were getting, 200,000, mm-hmm. 250,000. Now we're getting about 750,000.
Yeah, we had a big jump 2 years ago.
Right.
It was almost 100%.
SRS was supposedly on its way out,
yeah.
And then they renewed it for another 2 years. So
they went from, 350 to 7. So
yeah.
I think that's an important, $700,000 for $200 or whatever. It's a pretty good bang on your buck.
Very good.
I think we keep the proposed membership at probably the same as what I'd suggest, unless there's something specific that people are looking to.
You had some items checked. I'm okay with those items.
Those are the ones that I was suggesting we would pay and that we've...
the other one you don't want to pay, like video lottery defense fund dues, and I'm reading it, and it says nothing in it and that I could understand in my limited Grand Pass High School education. It doesn't do anything. I don't know what it does.
That's like a little college over there. What are you talking about?
Huh?
It wasn't when we went there.
The campus. The college.
Well, I went through the CTE programs. They're pretty advanced.
Yes.
That advocacy is going to happen whether we are participants
exactly,
or not.
Exactly, yeah. It doesn't seem why we should throw in.
I don't know why there's a special dues allocation for it. It's the Deb Potts Memorial Building that the lottery's housed in. I think we have a little bit of credibility from our state senator being the Oedipus for why we have lottery in the state of Oregon.
To what, and I didn't get a chance to read this, but this is for people to see it. What is the, we don't have the AOC Veterans Fund dues checked, that box checked. Is there a reason why we don't?
Mostly we do the mandatory dues and not the voluntary dues, with the exception of that one, the council forest trust, because of the connection that we get some benefit, direct benefit. But otherwise, the main issue is we pay the mandatory dues, but we don't pay the voluntary.
Okay, I don't know what the AOC, the Veterans Fund dues, does.
I don't either.
I guess I could read. I could read it in here. But
well, why don't you talk to Lisa about maybe what we could get out of that? And
because I'm looking at a $58 million industry here, and if we could bump that to $68 million by being part of a bigger picture.
That could be bank.
Then that's something we may want to consider.
How much is it?
$3,200. $3,300. So that's a pretty good chunk. That's a pretty good chunk, but also what they bring back into the county in outside dollars is pretty substantial.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it does. If you could get, can you get me a copy of this
and read what
it does?
Yeah.
And then I will talk to Lisa about
it. I think so. And I'm
see if it's something that
it's a $3,200
is
like
I don't get anything
20%. What are we at? 17, 15?
For the
total.
What we're paying? Right now I've got it's 22,000 now.
Yeah. Well, then it's a smaller percentage. 3,200 is not as much.
3,200 of 22 is about one seventh.
Yeah.
Well, it's over 10%. It'd be like 12 or 13. But figure it out if you support it.
Lisa thinks that there's a. When does that due?
Well,
yesterday?
It's this year. It's the current year, calendar year.
People
dues.
Are paying it up until the end of June, usually.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. So if we get
they're going through
right
their
on
budgets.
Now, we should
We've got time.
I'll see if I can get Lisa and I together, and then we'll bring something back in. Okay. And a thumbs up, thumbs down.
Cool.
She may look at it.
I'll give you a copy of that.
There's nothing. I see no benefit in that at all.
Well, it could be.
If that's the case, then we'll just scrub it.
I'll just pay it as is.
I'll leave that up to you guys if that's okay with you, Commissioner Morgan. I don't mind. If you decide that there's a bang for the buck or trying it for a year, we're okay with that. If not,
let me get back on this.
Okay.
For right now, we'll leave it as it sets.
Okay.
Because until I talk to Lisa.
Okay.
I know Andy at AOC's passion for our veterans.
He's really good.
He definitely.
Yeah, if there's something to be had there, that's
one thing.
If there isn't, because $3,300 is still a pretty good size chunk of change.
Mm-hmm.
If there isn't, if all we get is bureaucracy, I'm not interested.
Okay, the other thing I have is that we do have auditors, or we had auditors. They left yesterday afternoon. So just to let you know, Moss Adams is our new auditor, and that we're they're starting their field work right now. So checking things out. Hugo Hills, Carla McCafferty contacted me this week, and they should be moving the last tenant out of the Hugo Hills, the secure treatment facility there in Hugo. They should be moving the last tenant out probably this week. They found space for there were four remaining. They found space for the three, and so temporarily they're going to move the fourth one probably to the CRC or Ramsey until they can find a more permanent location for them. So
we need to have those transfer the utilities transferred to Ryan, and I'd like to look into a contract with SOS for surveillance from time to time. I think that's important that we maintain that infrastructure and not have somebody. My challenge is that what we would experience if we get somebody who squats in there, we have to go through this whole big process of getting them out, like we have had on our properties that we maintain. And it's cumbersome, challenging, and they can do a lot of damage real quick.
If you got somebody in there who started cooking meth and went into that building, you've got to tear the whole building.
Good, I haven't written it down yet, so write it down.
I'll work with Ryan.
So the concierge wash would be able to give us a quote for that as far as how often frequency a night that we would want them to go by.
Okay. I will look into that. Legal has the contract. We still have a contract that we'll need to sign. And the state is expecting us to pay off the balance of the loan, which is $147,000. So part of this whole effort is to get out from under the constraints of that federal money, so that the building becomes ours and we can do with it as we wish. So.
And how long is options? I mean, before we're switching utilities, I mean, are they
probably
their 30 days up?
Yeah, once they remove the final tenant, then I think it's just whatever we need to. So I've got, I'm talking with Carla to try to set up a time that we can meet and discuss these final things. Because part of the issue is going to be also the furniture and things that are in there. You know, what happens to those? They were all paid for using state mental health funds.
If there's a need. If Carla needs them, it's their stuff.
That,
I would rather have it cleaner rather than...
That's what I figure, too. But, you know, we need to have that discussion of what we want to do with it.
I see it as a tenant. So long as they're occupying, whether with person or stuff, they're responsible for the building and paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they've got the last of their stuff out and they've turned over the keys, we assess what's left.
But the stuff could be ours. I mean, I think that's... kind of the discussion item is, you know, do they need
how
it?
How clean do we want it? Do we want it left in?
They don't really have a new building to move it to.
They have lots of facilities, yeah. And so they may have a need. I don't mind being part of that conversation about working this out. This is the first building I put to bed or transferred, so we'll work it out the way we want it to. And ultimately, if there's still furniture or a little infrastructure from time to time, we'll make it available to our other departments. But I think we need it in a ready state for the next thing.
For the next
that needs to be an executive session conversation, probably happening a week after next, about what do we really want to do purposefully. And with the 210 Tacoma, did I mention that I want that one on concierge as well?
You did not, but
210 Tacoma as well?
I have that.
Have you toured it yet?
I have not toured it. I have the concierge bid for that one.
Oh, you do? Great.
I do.
Okay. If you wouldn't mind seeing if maybe we can get those together and make a better contract deal. If we've got them both on there, that would be helpful. Brian probably helps facilitate that stuff. There's tons of ongoing maintenance with 210 Tacoma, and I imagine Hugo Hills will require that as well.
And there's a balance.
Hugo Hills seems like it's in really good shape compared to Tacoma.
Yeah. And Tacoma's not bad. I mean, it wouldn't
cost. Tacoma's not bad. It's not falling down around your ears, but Hugo's got a new roof on it, blah, 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 blah. Replaced one of the units up on the roof.
Nice.
Can we put a driveway from Tacoma straight through to the airport so if we need lodging for guests, we can use it?
We could look at it. It's possible. We'll get the road striped and the striped.
The west side resort in addition to the east side resort.
Right. Wouldn't it be ironic if our resort came online before their resort came
online? Yeah, we have Hugo Hills on one side and Merlin Mountain on the other. Merlin Mountain Resort. Valley View Rooms.
So I'm working with Karen Homilek, Business Oregon, on the Dimmick. So just to let you know, that's still in the queue. I'm giving her some numbers so she can recalculate the budget. And the idea is that they will help pay or pay completely for the additional remediation due to the tank leaking on the property there. I also started a conversation sent out a couple emails. Sent out a couple emails to Julie Schmelzer regarding transient room tax with Wally, trying to find out what the status is of that, what can be done, what cannot be done. Do we overlap with the city? Is it exclusively rural county area? And those kinds of details. And so just to let you know, that's a project in the works, and I'll be getting back to you folks.
Is there a chance citywide that we could get theirs? What,
9%
9, how much?
Other counties I've seen on bills have imposed a countywide.
In addition to the
cities.
Yeah.
Can you break it up to where it's say it's $11 countywide, we get $2 from everything in the city, they get 9, we get 2, and then we get 11 everything on everything outside?
I don't know.
Their percentages.
That's the question. That is a question. They give 5% to the vendor for collection fees, and the city keeps 4%.
$4, 40%.
Well, it's a percentage. It's 9% of whatever you're paying is your tax. Your transit room tax is 9%. So 5% is kept by the hotel, and 4% is kept by the city. And
the total revenue would be about 55% of the total revenue is going back to the administration. 45% would be what the city collects of the 9%. That's basically what he was saying. I think what we had discussed preliminary was maybe just doing two in the city, two in the county, make it pretty simple. And the revenue generated from two is not chump change from just the city portion.
600,000, 700,000 maybe.
So if we collected half of what they collect, it would be two? Or no, where's this?
Yeah,
I can't remember the number.
Their 4% brings in about $1.2 million
So a year.
2% would be
so 2% would be
7.
It would be more than that because we've got the county involved.
And then you go to the county for 2% and maybe you bring in a million total.
Another 500,000.
Maybe.
Yeah.
They don't have as many.
It's certainly something to look at.
It is. And I think what we're looking, the departments that would benefit from this would be significant. It would be economic development, parks, and fair, which have that tourism focus in the county.
There's restraints.
And if you look at where their budgets are struggling, that's about how much they're struggling by. It would make a big difference.
Now, if you impose the 2%, I guess we'd have this discussion later, but if you put the 2%, how much are you going to give to the vendor, and then of the 2%,
I wouldn't give any. They're already getting 5%, which seems extremely generous.
In the county, now you're taking 2% for them and giving nothing back to them.
Now, remember, everybody already collects state. They do the state transient room tax. So
does the state give them anything back?
I'm not sure if the state gives
them. Good question.
But there's all those questions that we need to answer. Yeah. Actually, legal has looked into this in years gone by. They've got a nice fat file of information. So I've talked with Pat Ellison, and so we'll kind of freshen that up and find out exactly where we're at now, if the law has changed any over the last couple few years, and what the implication is. So that's in the works. And the same thing with the public works audit. I did contact the individual. He's been out due to some surgery and sickness for the last couple weeks, so I was thinking we were getting a little bit of a delay in getting that report back from him, but he says he's on it, and we should get it within the next week, the semi-final, the final draft.
Okay.
So, and then just a final reminder that we do have the new budget meetings coming up, so that we're planning on June 21 to have the public hearing for the adopting the 17-18 budget, and then on June 28 to have some cleanup resolutions for supplemental for the current budget year. And that's what I brought. Any questions?
So, did you want to discuss the North Valley Industrial? We had a preliminary conversation with a potential vendor to provide project management services for the North Valley Industrial Park. The challenge has been that, much like the Illinois Valley Industrial Park, these projects have been going on for decades, and there's no conclusion to them because nobody's really running point. There are point people from time to time, but it's not their first priority. Right. Mr. Graves does a great job at our airports. The industrial park is somewhat tangential to his main focus of providing aviation services to people who fly planes. Ironically, I was talking to somebody who told me, well, it was my dad, about the Illinois Valley Industrial Park. He actually built the platform for its dedication in like 1962 for my grandfather to facilitate the ceremony. 62. I had no idea that my family's been involved with that for so long. I think the North Valley Industrial Park is kind of similar. And now I'd had the hitchup of the Paradise Ranch. We were going to hitch our wagon to that star, but my whole goal in the last 4 years, and it continues to be, stuff like the Dimmock Tower coming down and having state dollars being a significant contribution to that, so it's not on the burden of Josephine County taxpayers. It's because we hired somebody who, that's what they do. They eat, sleep, and breathe about this stuff, and that's what I'm looking to try to have for getting this over the hurdle so we can move on to another project. And we're not leaving things out, like the last USDA study that we've done in a series of studies didn't include airports until the last minute. It was a change order to the program. It's like, how did we not have that included in the very beginning? Airports is a fundamental, it's as important to me as the industrial park for having access to adequate facilities. It shouldn't be an afterthought. It should be a forethought. I want a project manager who's thinking about including everything and has done this before.
Right. So, and knows the questions to ask. Not necessarily tell us what to do, but to make sure that we ask the questions of ourselves.
Right.
What do we need done? And also can direct us into the various funding sources or streams that are available whether they pursue them or then it's our burden to pursue. And
there was a mention from this contractor about regional solutions appropriations. So in the last two biennia, $4 million has been appropriated to our regional solutions. We applied for 450, we got appropriated 425, and we actually utilized 300 and, Mr. Graves, 300 and something of regional solutions money for our east side taxiway engineering?
Yes. Yeah.
328?
It was very close to 300,000.
Yeah. Really close to 300,000.
Yeah.
4 million, the only Josephine County project to appreciate any revenues was roughly $300,000. So we're overdue. If they get another two this next time, I'm fine with going to all of it, saying we have shovel-ready ground, and but for this opportunity to hook up to a new sewer system, we could employ another 150, 200, 300 people here. That's our priority. I want all of the $202 million next year for this regional solutions project.
Go big or go home.
That's right. I want it all.
I want it all. They've got it all for the first year. They got 70% of it, 80% of it, 75% of it the last year. I'm ready. And that was not even on my, it wasn't on my radar, and it should have been, and this potential contractor raised it as an issue, and it was like, great.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious why aviation wasn't put on that transportation rough draft, and I was trying to pick in my brain, is there any tax on road, on aviation fuel?
Oh, huge.
State tax. I mean, right now we have road tax at the pump because the cars use the road and it
right.
goes to road maintenance and everything else.
Yeah.
But aviation, is there a dollar, a so much per gallon that
yes.
it's supposed to come back to aviation?
Yes.
Not bike ped,
yes.
not climbing lanes or anything like that. It's dedicated back to you?
The ASAP core grants are the embodiment of that return
okay.
to the users.
That's the return.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's part of it. There's
part of it.
Part
yeah.
of it. That's a new one. A new program.
Yeah. Prior to that, aviation fuel tax, which we paid, went to support Portland and
Big stuff.
Eugene and Salem mm-hmm. and Medford,
sure.
the Part
yeah.
139 commercial service airports. We never saw any of it.
That's just one issue that we're working on.
What kind of dollar amount is that?
Well, it's
depends on how much fuel you sell.
Sure, sure.
Last year,
100,000 gallons at an average of $4.50 to $5 a gallon. Half a million, 3%.
About the potential.
3% of a half a million.
Yeah, 150,000.
150 grand.
Everybody agrees we're at that.
I'm sorry.
Project manager point to say, okay, so how do we? How do you facilitate us
yeah.
picking a proposed
Green
solution?
Okay. Our turn.
Check me out. Yeah.
A distributed.
All of it.
Grinder.
We want it all.
I just thought we'd already kind of given blessing
that's
to hiring
just
a project manager
that's
on
just
that in some of our conversations.
We had, and so that's a result
yeah.
of this. We're talking
nice.
About preliminary conversations with a
okay.
potential vendor, and I think we're going to try to figure out a way that it makes sense and is within our internal restrictions on picking selective
yeah.
process of picking
yeah.
this contractor. I know these people. I've worked with these people. I have absolute faith that
yeah.
if I die tomorrow, they will pick this project up. It isn't tied to anybody here.
Yeah.
They're solid.
Yeah.
They've got a great reputation.
I just thought we already gave the blessing for that, so I thought we were moving forward on it already.
To make sure that we're all...
Right.
Oh, and that's what we're doing. We're moving forward.
Slowly.
Slowly.
This may not have been the first time that I've had that kind of a conversation and discussion and approval, and then I got... No, you can't do that.
Okay.
So, I'm a busy guy.
Who are we blessing now?
The project manager for the sewer program for the
okay.
North
Valley. Arthur to proceed on his procurement of those services to move us forward. It'd be a real feather in your guys' cap if in the next couple of years, you guys had it done.
I got that wastewater treatment.
Yeah.
Both of them. So.
Well, we want them both done. Both,
of them. Maybe we have these people facilitate the last little bit. Maybe we can do that one internal.
And we also
the hydro engineering of the Ivy Industrial Parks
okay.
water. They
yeah.
do both. They're fairly similar.
Yeah, I would think we'd want to.
I really don't know how they process
the
effluent out of the Ivy. You know, I know you have power, you've got water.
It's all septic
suppression.
And it's all drain fields.
And it's in?
Oh, well, the drain fields are existing, yeah.
Okay.
But
You know that green patch? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, you know what? That's you have to have a user.
Yeah.
You have to have a user to find out the green patch.
Why are we not growing cannabis on that on the greenscape?
Hey, that's my question.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. O'Hare. Any other business that should properly come before the board?
Regarding that, I would like us to revisit the conversation with the city about what it would take to connect the airport to the city's water system.
I think that'll
we have a fire hydrant system at the airport.
No,
there is this.
No.
We would need to put one in.
Yes.
There we go.
That's why I've been so focused on the septic for the North Valley Industrial Park. I wanted the airports integrated into that whole project because we need water out of that airport. We have one well at the animal control facility, and we have a 1.5-inch pipe that goes under Brookside Boulevard that services the whole airport.
Yeah.
Coming from the well that's
you guys don't need water.
It's crazy. We need water. And we're servicing the entire septic system. We are the dewatering site for that North Valley Industrial Park project. It's going to be at the approach end of runway 31.
Right, that's the yeah.
So it's our Don't Land Short incentive program.
That's awesome. Another opportunity for a creative.
But no, we do really need to push the city in the industrial park for standby water. At least if they don't have they'd have to have a commercial aspect, and the airport would be commercial. And
this is something the contractor will facilitate.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll be moving forward with what's the next steps for the contractor, so we can move forward to try to pursue.
It'll
this.
Be a scope of work, and this will make sure that you guys want to make sure that those
make sure that the water
those things are in.
I just remember City Manager Kubik saying there had to be a safety element.
He was checking with state regulations.
Right.
It's really. The backstop to everything they will say they can or cannot do is whether or not they can do it legally by the state.
Yeah. And so if we need to work on the state to have access. But I want our airport safe.
Yep, I agree.
Speaking what they're doing out there does not make sense from the city standpoint.
It doesn't. Let us help you.
Dumping water out of that reservoir every year.
Yeah. Let us help you.
Mr. Graves,
yes.
Just as a heads up, we as a board have a conflict on Monday the 19th. I will not be able to be at the IV Airport board meeting with you guys. So we're going to be interviewing a department head that day.
By the way, we're having a pre-construction conference, pre-bid pre-construction conference on the same day out at the IV Airport for the new electrical upgrade project that's underway.
Great.
But I understand sometimes you just...
Can't be in two places at once. And I don't fly, so I don't have the benefit of an airplane.
If you have the desire, we'll fix that.
Under item number 6, any other business? We had tangentially discussed, while you guys are thinking, parks pavement schedule. I wonder if you wouldn't mind facilitating that conversation with Mr. Brandis and Sarah about getting each of our parks with pavement. Not all of them have paved parking areas or something, that they're on a schedule. I've kicked this can down the road too long, and I don't mind doing it, but as liaison to Public Works, that's really the linchpin.
So would Sarah have the, she would have an inventory of what needs to be done?
She does. I think one might have been done. She definitely has the list of what's the highest priority. You wouldn't want to go repave Whitehorse, for instance, because that's going to get redone. But, you know, there are, Tom Pierce has significant challenges, and we've been cold patching for a long time, and at some point it's going to require a chip seal type of an overlay to fix that. So
maybe we can incorporate that with our regular schedule for chip sealing.
Yeah, that it's in the queue, that there's a schedule, and... The other one is the consideration. I'm going to do that one. I need to reach out to the one that I'm thinking of is the 4-H parking lot. We heard from Mr. Punches during his 4-H presentation that's a real priority for him. And I told Mike Watson that I was going to reach out to the Three Rivers superintendent and bring them in. It's really the buses that are causing. I know it's not these the little cars and day-to-day traffic that's really causing the challenge.
They still have their maintenance facility out there?
Yeah, they've got the 2.1 acres. They don't have legal access the way they're using it right now, and their legal access is really challenging for them, so we need to, that's my leverage for them leaning into that issue. The other one that I have is that I'd like to resurrect the conversation and have you guys receive kind of a presentation about our agreement with Moving Mountains as far as providing PR services for the county. I think we need to just have that conversation, and I'm going to meet with Mr. Buck today about a time when he can come in. I met with somebody this morning who works with Moving Mountains that does video production, and I think that that would be a really good use of our economic development funds for this next year, that we need to do it sooner rather than later, that we think about the events going on at our parks. The fair is in the queue. Expressing what we do for public works, you know, with roadside vegetation management. People are wanting video, kind of 1 minute, real short and sweet stuff. That's what these people do. And integrating that with Facebook and our website, making it all
come upgrading our website to have more pleasing responses. Yeah,
yeah, the ability to showcase these really positive things we're doing,
yeah,
move the momentum. So if you don't mind, if in the next couple of weeks I'll have Dan come in,
yeah,
and with maybe this video, this co-video vendor that they have, and I'd like to do it rather soon so that we can get
or
parks.
Capitalize on the summer, because
airports,
summer's when you do all your
yeah,
projects.
Airports is the same thing, that people don't want to look at a still picture from the 60s about what does our airports look like before they get here. They want, you know, when they're deciding which airports to go to, wouldn't it be really great if they could click on a little video? It's like they were there, and it shows them everything.
That's YouTube's wheelhouse, is Facebook and
social media.
Social media is your wheelhouse, so.
I don't know if it's.
I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
I thought he was referring to the band when he said YouTube, so
I was
trying to figure
idea.
Out what Bono had to do.
I thought he was mispronouncing YouTube.
Yeah,
you know,
YouTube.
So
that was my first thought, was that, then the band, and I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Us.
Got it.
So those are a couple of things that I'll work on and we'll get to. But if you wouldn't mind handling that roads deal with Public Works, they're going to push back and they're going to say no.
Of course.
My position is you need to do this. This is what we're doing. And I don't want to have parks paying for it. Otherwise, they'll go out and they'll hire Peterson or Copeland or Mosier or somebody. That's not what we're talking about here. You're an in-house. You need to pitch in. And I know they do sometimes, but it's not to the degree and level that it could be.
Kicking and screaming.
Yep. Item number 7 is board business matters from commissioners.
Just moving ahead with our construction project's exciting.
Cool.
That's going to be real exciting. I'm going to lean on the city of Grants Pass too, to see if we can, if it's legal, and we probably ought to kick it through Councilor Hicks. Is it legal to put in no loitering signs? Because I noticed that some of the folks,
sure,
I don't know if they just don't get along with the clientele on this end, but they're starting to sleep underneath the trees on this end of the courthouse lawn. And I don't know if it's just a simple no loitering sign, just put that in the deal and call it even and thank you for not smoking. Or
I think that goes back to the whole designation as a park. And there's certain luxuries, abilities you have with designation of a park that you don't have with public property during open business hours.
Okay.
That's the restriction. They can cite somebody for trespass from a park.
Well, I'm not looking to cite them. I'm looking to discourage them from saying, oh, no ordering. Oh, there must
well, you
be
don't
a
have to cite them
somewhere.
If you just ask them and say, if you don't, I will have to cite you.
Yeah.
I need you to move on. So, not a place to just camp out. I had a conversation with a member of the new library district, the old library foundation board, and the current director of the library, Josephine Community Library, yesterday or Tuesday, about what does it mean for them to have a district. And it's kind of like mental health moving on to the state as a state program, not a county function anymore. We've waited for years for them to kind of get established, maybe longer than we needed to, for us to, you know, like give them some of the buildings that are theirs and they're going to continue to use. And then they're getting out of buildings that they're not using anymore, like Hugo Hills. And so we kind of started that conversation about capital assets that frankly should belong to a district that couldn't belong to necessarily a foundation. But now that they're permanent in their structure, I don't believe the county should own the books, as an example, anymore. 45% of their collection is still ours, technically. And I don't really want it, you know.
I think we should sell it for a penny a piece. Just kidding. Now, some of them are outdated. They probably don't even want to.
The average is, Kate was telling me, of that 45% is right around 15 to 20 years old. And even if the book is still relevant, its useful life, if it's a popular book, it's past its useful life. And so I just feel like I shouldn't be making that decision as the facilities capital asset liaison. It really should just be, when you feel like a book is past its prime, you get rid of it because you're going to be paying to replace it. You're the curator. That's your job now.
But that's a common sense, reasonable response.
I know. That's what makes me good at my job. So working at that is just as an example. The other one would be that we own the building of the Williams branch. We don't own the property. We own the building and the property for the IV branch. We don't own anything in the Williams area.
Wolf Creek.
Wolf Creek, thanks. And we own everything over here, including 45% of their collection.
Who owns Wolf Creek?
They do. The foundation
do.
Does.
So, yeah, foundation.
The foundation is looking to give everything over to the district. And the foundation
and
board will
go. Owns the property?
Probably the foundation.
Okay.
I don't know that. I didn't know we owned the building. It doesn't even have restroom facilities. It has John, a blue dawn.
Transgender.
Yeah.
Plastic transgender.
Probably. Everybody, anybody, come on, come all. So that's the conversation that we started. I've asked them to present to the board a list of what do you want? What do you want us to retain? What would you like to have? I told them that building is not available. It's not on the list or the property. But frankly, everything else is... I don't see that we have a need for the Ivy Branch building. I think Ryan would really like to not have to maintain a studs out agreement on that one. And the property isn't integral to what I would see as a future plan for anything in the Illinois Valley.
Was there anything in your conversation about if, like, say, Ivy, give that to the library district? Or I guess just give it to them and then we don't have any, but they don't pay us anything for it?
Right. I don't know. We didn't have that conversation about what the value would be.
What would be a fair
value exchange?
Over a long period of time, instead of paying rent, they would make a payment.
Yeah, their agreement right now goes till 2020. I mean, it's like the dollar a year style.
Dollar a year. So mm-hmm. That's $3 we'd be out for each contract.
Or we can ask for the
$3. I don't know that we've ever collected that dollar.
I think they paid it up front.
Okay.
I do. I think when we first did it, they just, here's your $5 or $10.
Okay.
For the paid, yeah. I honestly, what was new to me was the studs in, studs out maintenance portion with the libraries, and it really, hearing that yesterday from you, kind of has given me a different perspective on, it's not like we have a standard building operations facilities fee where we're doing the maintenance on the building, we're doing the upkeep on the janitorial and the products in there. This has been a different agreement than we have with any of the other facilities, so I don't see it as the exact same as we're dealing with other departments. So I would be open to seeing how do we best help this transition to support the transition. So
it's the future mission of the library now that they actually have a future. Before, I think we were hesitant to do that in 2005 with the mental health. But we have put together a transition plan for them for mental health options now that they're full-fledged and they're, you know, standalone. And my position was, how can we help you continue your mission? You're no longer a county program. The least we can do is, you know, provide you these resources, and we don't have liability anymore.
And then they're yours.
The only consideration that I think that I would want to consider is that in the IV, if they, for some reason in the future, find themselves no longer in the business of providing library services to the Illinois Valley, that building and that property comes back. But as long as you're providing it for the intent,
That's their trade-off.
That's your, that, those are the rules.
That makes sense.
It would be, we don't have, I don't even know if that's in the agreement for the Sportsman's Park up there. They could probably lease that to somebody else and not be doing what they're doing anymore. And they've got that lease for 99 years. That's not appropriate, you know? Wait a second. That's not what the commissioners agreed to when they made that silly agreement for a 99-year lease.
But one of the things, when you go back to it, when you look at the way the sports park started out there, that it was, you know, there wasn't a whole bunch of interest in it because you didn't know what the future of it was.
Yeah.
So you, the commissioner steps in and say, you had a 99-year lease out. Now you've got people that said, everything I do here is going to remain here. Instead of it being 5 years, I'm going to put a bunch of time and effort and money and you know, build all the facilities we have out there, and then the county go, hey, looks good, we'll take it back.
Yeah, we'll not renew your lease.
So there's a lot of value in that 99-year lease. A long time, I get that. But that park...
And no option for revisiting.
Right, there should have been an option in there. We'll look at it at 25 years.
Giving Tussey Park.
That wouldn't be, Josephine Sportsman Association wouldn't be what it is today.
Right.
Without that 99 years, I don't think you'd have got the dedication and the enthusiasm about it that is out there. So that's...
I just want to be real deliberate about the way we, so that I'm not, people aren't looking back at us in 10 years and saying, well, why did you do that?
Yeah,
you didn't even give a revisit.
I'm finding there's really no consistency because YMCA is on a whole different timetable with a whole different deal. And then so is, I mean, every one of them got their own.
They're all different.
No, that's not me, that's them. And yeah. So I don't know how that worked out. But if there could be some, and I don't know where, you know, where you would, what the trigger would be and where you drop off and go from one contract to another one. So
the last one that I have is that, so yesterday I was made aware that Commissioner Freeman, as the president of the Association of ONC Counties, and I'm the vice president, is looking to testify at the House Natural Resources Committee hearing on a bill that references ONC in a pretty substantial way. So he's been asked to testify. And then, so as a result, we were planning quarterly events, trips back to D.C. this year because it's a pretty pivotal year of the new administration. And there is a forest management bill that's being worked on, and the ONC will be a component as it was in 1526. It was Title II. And so we're gonna try to make all of this come together in a short term to so Commissioner Freeman isn't having to go back there multiple times. And so this will qualify as the executive committee's second quarter trip to D.C. In order to travel outside of the state, board members need approval for reimbursement on these kinds of travel things. I'm not excited about not having more than a week or two to plan this, but given that, we don't have a lot of time. It's a really short trip. I leave, the proposal is to leave on a Wednesday and come back on a Saturday. Leave
not
on the 14th. Leave on the 14th and come back on the 19th. So,
the last time you were in D.C., you had the opportunity to speak to a couple folks about transfer of properties between BLM.
Glad you brought that up.
And I'm wondering if this is an opportunity to follow up to try to see some of that through.
Major thing that they were looking for was context about what other federal lands BLM specifically were in the area and how were they potentially affected by this transfer. And so that would be the maps that Mike and I would put together to add to the thing and to get it into this forest management package later this summer or the fall and hopefully have those about 7 properties transferred over to the county.
What is the potential for this ONC bill that you guys would be addressing? Or
it's the House Natural Resources Committee. It has, the likelihood is high that it comes out of the House and it includes ONC, or that he got invited to testify means that it's a fundamental part of what the package that they're looking to put together. What we would be doing while we're back there is talking to the Department of Interior and the other players who are going to move that through the committee to make sure that it's kept solid all the way through the process. We're only 18 counties in Oregon, and our senators have not always supported it on the Senate side. So House Bill 1526 passed twice about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, and didn't even get hearings on the Senate side. Well, the majority isn't the same anymore, and we have a different... The backstop used in the Senate in the past was the fact that the president wasn't going to be signing this anyway, so there's really no reason to have a hearing on the Senate side. Don't waste your time. We don't have time for that. It's not going anywhere. You don't have that argument anymore. So what is your argument? Why aren't you supporting forest management in your state? And that's going to be a real tough answer for them.
The timing sounds like it's right.
They also have, Senator Wyden has a new natural resources director in his office in D.C., which none of us have met yet. So getting the lay of the land from that office is going to be pretty pivotal, because Senator Wyden is always the lead. Senator Merkley will tell you, I'll defer to the senior senator on these natural resource issues. So if he's not in his position of leadership, seniority, in a majority sense on the committees, he was the House Natural Resources chair for like a month before he became finance chair, and now he's ranking member on the Finance Committee, Senator Wyden. So he's not in that position that he was 2 years ago. So this could be a real pivotal time.
Now, isn't Merkley and Wyden, aren't they really pushing the laminate industry?
They are, yep.
And you know, do they not realize that they're going to need trees for that industry?
The industry currently is sourcing their trees for D.R. Johnson out of Idaho, so that's a real shortcoming of his argument about new and creative industrial wood products that sequester carbon and that displace alternative building mechanisms, which are highly, you know, carbon intensive, which are steel and concrete. Well, how is trucking it from Idaho to get these raw materials?
Defeating your purpose.
You can go out your back door,
right?
Because of your new resource management plan.
And I think, you know, it's true. It's typical of Washington. If it's their idea, they'll support it.
Right.
But it's the exact same industry that they shut down.
It's no real difference of having laminate relative to 2x4s and 2x6s.
Yeah.
It's just the versatility with, you know, laminate structures. You
right.
can do.
You make whatever you
six,
want.
Six-story buildings. You're not limited, whereas you are with 2x4s. Anyway, that's the proposal. I'm not really sure how much it's going to cost. It's going to cost more than it would if we had a couple of weeks. I am going to reach out to Commissioner Freeman, as I'm going as part of the executive committee. We're taking, if I go, Chris Cadwell, who's a staffer. He's our BLM. He's worked for the BLM for 30 plus years. He gives a great presentation on.
I heard him at WIR.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's part of what he'll be presenting. I'd like to see the association pitch in for part of it, which is frankly our money, but it's everybody else's money too. So
you said a little earlier you need board approval to travel.
I do, outside of the state.
How do you do that? Do we do that in a week mid session?
Right here is fine. Right here is fine.
Do we make a motion?
Sure. You don't have to. I just need a nod from you guys. It's our policy that we do not allow out-of-state travel by board members without board approval. So just so you know that. Past commissioners have done it in extenuating circumstances, and we've ratified that decision afterwards. But ideally, you don't take the trip and then ask for forgiveness. You ask for permission, and then we grant it.
Personally, we've come so far on this timber thing that, you know, with a new administration and new leadership in Washington, I think we need to be on the forefront of it rather than coming in a year later and saying, oh, by the way, we have an idea back in June.
Yeah.
But we weren't here. I'd support your travel. I have no problem with that.
I ideally don't want to go, but I think I signed up for a position of vice president of the association. I'm public lands chair for AOC. I'm the guy who signed up for this stuff, so.
I would support you going, but I would also ask that we inquire with the association if they would cover through the partnership with that. But if we're a membership of both, we need to support the process.
Right.
And it'd be nice to get a report back when you get back. If we can get some progress going, then it's worth the investment.
I think this is the time. It's not going to get any better than this if you don't get it done now. I would say the chances are probably not really good if you can't do it now. So, okay, we'll work on that. And so that means I won't be available for the weekly business session next week or the administrative meeting. But you'll accommodate. so we have vice chairs. So, we had looked at doing interviews for the emergency services manager next Wednesday is the day. I'm not available, obviously. You guys are the people that are going to have to be working with this person for the duration of time for their term in that position. I've reviewed the two strong applicants, but there's two others that are going to be part of the interview panel. It's really up to you. I think we have a little bit of timing, a little bit of time.
HR got a hold of me yesterday afternoon and said they were going to move it to a time all three of us could be here, and so they were moving it to Monday the 19th.
Right, and they were planning on being out there. My concern was that I wanted this conversation because I don't want to substitute two members of the board for two other members of the board. We just need to talk about what you guys want to do. Are you available on the 19th?
I was willing to come in.
You can make that?
Yeah, I have doctor's appointments in Medford in the morning that I can't miss. So I told them I would be available for the afternoon. So the email I got back was they would do from 1 to 5. And it's actually now on my calendar, so I'm assuming they've got a hold of you to do that. So
yeah, that might have happened. I wanted to have this conversation before we actually made that, because if we had it and you weren't available, it's really important that you both be there. I have been a supervisor. Two of these applicants, the strong ones, have worked for me already. I can provide my guidance on what I'd suggest.
I've actually worked with two of them,
right,
as a county employee and law enforcement, so I'm familiar with two of the candidates. I don't.
So we'll move those to the 19th. Okay, sounds really good. The other one is that we need to continue the conversation about how we want the department structured here in our office. I don't think that that's reached a total resolve, but we need to do it sooner rather than later. We've advertised for the 9-10 position, and we have a temp currently that seems to be working out pretty well. I don't know how long that's an option for us, but I want to move diligently but not rush the process. Thinking about this last night after JJ and I had a conversation yesterday, I think I want to make sure that we've lined everything up the way it needs to go if we're going to go somewhere. And so just to be aware that we're going to be moving those kinds of things forward in the next week or two is where I think we need to have a resolve by the end of June.
Do we need to, I think we talked about voicing requirements and what our expectations were.
Yeah.
Do we want to put a timeline on that?
Have you guys had a chance to review those job descriptions?
I have. I was surprised at how different the job descriptions were as far as when they're both in one department, one supervisory over the other. There's mm-hmm. things in the element of the secretary position that aren't discussed in the supervisor position of even being there. So it's kind of, if that secretary is not there, there's nothing in there to say that's covered.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, let me get you there. But yeah, it was interesting. I read it through a few times just to kind of make sure I was...
I have the job description.
Okay.
Right. I'm here next Tuesday. Can we schedule something to talk about it?
Yeah, we have legal at 1. Oh, wait, you were leaving. That's why we moved it up, because you were heading to... Let me look.
We have a general discussion in the morning, so
okay.
Maybe we do it then, right before lunch or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, we'll work out a time with JD to try to have that conversation.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds really good. I think let's take a look at the job descriptions before then and get those kind of our notes outlined on that. That's pretty much all.
Do you want them electronically, or do you want me to print them out and write notes on them? What was your preference?
It's up to you. I'm fine either way.
I think for the sake of looking at, if you do it electronically, if you don't mind redlining.
Okay.
I'd appreciate that, so we can all look at what you're proposing to change. Okay. That might be helpful. That's what I wanted to talk about on that today, and that's probably about it. We'll we'll address it on Tuesday when we can get a meeting scheduled for that. Anything else?
I can't think of anything right now that... that needs to come forward right now.
Do we need a general discussion this afternoon? I think that we've had some stuff. Do we have time?
I will not be here. I'll be at Leipzig.
Oh, right. I thought we'd canceled it because of that.
I think we did, too.
The issue that I think we would like to discuss in a general discussion sooner rather than later is the marijuana issue and what it is specifically that we can do on this. I'm not real clear about where what the authority. I know we have time, place, and manner. But I'd really like legal and Julie to come in and guide us through the whole process of what we could do, what's in our wheelhouse, both with the question that we asked. Okay, so we move that forward. What does that look like? How long does that take? Where do we, how does that implemented, that ordinance, you know? What kind of implications that has? Are there three people that this affects or is there 30? I think that there's very few. But what are the challenges that all of us are hearing? And then what are the steps that we can take to make these things better? So a lot of the things I'm telling people is like, really? I don't have the discretion to call this an agricultural commodity or not. The legislature did that.
Right.
They're very clear about that. And these are the provisions that they're provided for by sure virtue of the Oregon State Forest Practices and right to farm and right to forest.
I'm hearing three big things they're not in our wheelhouse. They're on the federal side. One of them is they're going in and they're just clearing land. I mean,
so that's ODF. That's a state deal. Absolutely.
There's a state, and they're just going in and say, I bought 5 acres, and I'm just mowing it down. I'm not asking anybody. I brought a cat in, and I'm leveling it all off with no regards to drainage or anything of that sort.
Correction. It's only ODF if there's merchantable timber there. Like, you don't need a permit from ODF to go clear Madrone or oak or something like that.
But I'm not knowing when people tell me they went in there and they just cleared all the trees out.
Yep.
They're not saying they were all dug for this big around with that many growth rings.
Because you need a permit in order to sell those dug fir to somebody.
But that's one. Another one is the effect on fish and wildlife of the lighted, constant lighting.
Yeah.
Because you're taking away that habitat. That's U.S. Fish and Wildlife. And, you heard what the fish and wildlife guy had on that plaster mine thing over there.
ODFW, yeah.
And yet, here, nobody heard from on the lighting issues affecting nocturnal animals, that which we had a lot. And then the third is going in on EFU, and I think the intent of EFU is to keep that land in inventory to be used for growing crops, corn, soybeans, whatever. And they're going in completely covering the whole thing with gravel, rolling it down and building greenhouses.
Where that would be as imperviewable surfaces, is that the terminology?
Well, restrictions they put on River Road Reserve because it's EFU.
Yeah.
And we're not doing that for the cannabis industry. And it's yeah, do it everywhere. Because cannabis is a
agricultural commodity.
Agricultural commodity.
Yeah.
Not created on the New York Stock Exchange.
That agricultural designation really provides under the Oregon right to farm a lot of provisions that you wouldn't get and could be regulated by the county if it didn't have that. That was a significant thing to planters across the state when they made that designation specifically in the legislation, either 3400 or the whatever came after that. There was a piece of legislation, I want to say it was like House Bill 1057 that was referenced yesterday at the weekly business session. I wrote it down. I think we should take a look at that, have legal and Julie take a look at what the state's done. It didn't come across as being very positive from that constituent's point of view about muddying the waters and really not, clearing it up. But I think implementing that task force might be one of those things that we do.
Yeah.
And hearing from people about they want a strategy for how the county is going to be addressing this. And the other thing that we haven't done that maybe that committee can help us do is specifically delineate the things that we're asking the feds to do or we're asking the state. We haven't really done that other than your testimony, the sheriff's testimony, but they've been very specific and not always as a result of deliberate discussion. And when we did the urban growth boundary, for instance, I wrote my letter to the city and I said, these are my 9 issues. I can almost tell you what they are right now because I had to tell the city so many times. you are not getting approval by the Board of County Commissioners for your nth number of years of work on this deal if you do not address these nine issues. And we tell the state, we are not going to collect, we are not going to blah, 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 if you don't address these issues anymore. These are the rules. We got to have help on this. We're taking care of this. You got to do this, and we'll have a system that works for Josephine County. I think that's what we need to kind of help out with.
Well, some of this is so big that I don't think the county has the resources, and I don't even think the state has the resources to counteract the people that are bringing in the huge groves and things of that sort, who, by the way, are not listening to anything you say. Julie can go out there. Lily can go out there. Anybody can go out there, and they go, and I study to drive all that, talk to us, and I get out of here. And they just go do what they want.
Yeah.
You know, some of this stuff falls just short of the National Guard to enforce it. And we don't have that on our back and call.
No.
Because the feds, as long as we don't bring them to the table and say, you know, there's real serious violations here of U.S. Fish and Wildlife law, and you don't have anything to do with it. How come?
There's a third letter. A letter to our constituents about these are the things that we can do, these are the things we are going to do, and these are the things we can't do.
Yeah.
I think that would be really helpful for everybody. Does that make sense?
Yes, so I think you're right as far as having that conversation sooner than later.
Okay.
Are planning department and legal ready to go forward with that conversation?
They will be by the time I'm back. Next week's not available, but the week after is when I think we should do it.
Yeah, I think that's very cool.
You're not here.
I will
have time. Didn't you say occasionally you can come in for stuff?
Yeah, I will try to. So I traditionally what happens is I get my nieces and nephews for 2 to 3 weeks in the summer. And where I thought they were coming later in the summer, I abruptly found out that I was getting them June 16th through July 10th.
How many are we talking about?
Five. And then I...
You know, I could solve this real issue. I call DHS, and in 5 minutes, you don't have the authority to take care of it. I'm just kidding. We cite you for... I'm just kidding.
Not your job description.
You will find that I'm not in noncompliance anything. Anyhow...
I'm sure. I have nothing to worry about. Those studies take a long time. And
but, I mean...
By the time they're done...
What was different this year is that I did not expect to get them at spring break, which happened, and then they stayed longer than expected because they were moving... states. So normally I only get them in the summertime, which is this time. I'm going to be trying to tag team with other people to take them, and so when I can, I'll try to be here.
We'd give you a real good rate on the juvenile shelter and detention facility.
Awesome. I think one
startup
of
them, costs.
Three of them are too young.
Cleaning services?
So, awesome.
In exchange?
Yeah. Well, I find that the teenagers don't actually wake up as early as the youngers, so it's an interesting process of where they could maybe help watch the youngers.
Well, let's work around your schedule to try to put that together.
So if it gets scheduled, I will try to find a way to be there. I think that needs to happen sooner than later.
A part of that is when you were working with Julie about setting up the structure for the Cannabis Advisory Committee.
Okay.
And I have not been as supportive of that proposal when Commissioner Walker made it last year. But
I don't like the proposal either, and I need to work on it.
I'm in favor of the concept now.
Yeah.
It needs to happen. I've had a couple of people that I think would be really qualified to sit on that I may have mentioned. So I think we need to have that as an outcome of that conversation, that we're going to do that and advertise, you know, maybe at the end of, not this next week, the following week when we approve that. Is that possible to approve the structure?
I think so. I'll try to get a hold of Julie. To meet with either this week or next week.
She's on vacation until when? The 16th?
Are you kidding?
She's been gone for...
A while.
A week.
No, she's been gone more than a week.
She took 10 days is what she said she was going to be. But it feels as though she's not been here yesterday or the day before. So
no, because we had that hearing that she wasn't here for the second part because she was gone before. All right, so I will try to figure out if you do have people that you think what I'm looking for is what role do they fit that would make them a good candidate for that?
This one would probably be considered a large producer.
Okay. Okay.
That
would
one
be helpful.
Of them.
I was really disappointed with the recommendations of the board that came out of previous drafts.
Okay.
It was simply a medical, a rec, and a hemp grower, then a medical, a rec, and a hemp grower that owned the land they farmed.
Oh, right.
And then a processor, a supplier, and then a bunch of members at large. And
Well, much like the Economic Development Advisory Committee, you're almost going to have to take what you get, and it'll define itself by the people who respond. I don't want to paint this as such a specific box, because nobody even checked those boxes when we asked for them in the first place. So don't maybe be so specific, but we have that idea of, no, we've already got two of those people. Maybe we just say we want a cannabis advisory committee and see who responds
and populate it. I'd rather have people that are interested in being on that committee
than structure it.
And maybe not somebody that has a dog in the fight. Maybe somebody from outside that industry.
Makes your job pretty easy, Commissioner Morgan.
Yeah, there are some that we need to have there because of the tax base.
But maybe we know that, mm-hmm. and we just make sure that they're on there, and we don't actually have it delineated. So,
well, I will bring, there's some that I think should have some specific, someone with a planning background, somebody with a prevention background.
Okay.
Because of the tax-related stuff, just to be a part of it. But we can definitely take some of that restrictions out and have it.
What might be more important, rather than who they should be for representative, is what are we asking them to do?
Yeah.
Are we asking them to make a recommendation about where you raise the tax issue? Where that money should be going to. When we did the 3%, it's already delineated the programs that can receive those monies. But when we get the 10%,
that's the portion.
That could be a portion that needs advising on how should those monies be spent. I don't know if that should be in their purview. Land use regulations should certainly be. There could be a PR element of how is Josephine County dealing with this potentially negative reputation that we're developing and spin it into a positive of economic development and legitimacy or something.
Right now it's renegade, and we just need to turn that around.
Yeah. So anyway, maybe the objective of the committee is more important than, mm-hmm. or just as important. So,
all right, so we can work on that. Will try to get something that will... What I'll do is I'll get the draft and I'll email it out as a draft and ask that you guys get feedback back to whoever that needs to be so we can go from there.
Great. We'll get all those updates next week, but we've got two legal updates, the one on PERS and the one on the state land lawsuit. Are you guys tracking on those?
I got the email about the PERS and...
The judge...
Oh, yeah, the state. Yes, that was the other one with the ruling on all those.
What I'm doing today is catching up on all my email.
Great.
I have a girl out in the front office that's been hitting me with a stick every time I come in to look at my emails.
Sounds like that's a good thing for you.
Well, don't assume that when you get your emails read that hitting is going to stop. We'll find something else.
Oh, I'm sure.
With nothing else. The board is adjourned at 11:12.
Thank you, everyone.
We covered a lot of ground today.
Yeah.